Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm Angela M. Williams of the Anointed Masterminders. Yes, we're anointed to succeed. I'm here in our virtual studio with my mastermind partners, Beatrice Lewis-Saint, who's our group leader, and my brother and friend, author Rufus Curry, Jr. Guys, say good morning to our audience.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Awesome. We're so excited about being your host for the entire month of August. Last week, we were here talking about keeping first things first, our spiritual perspective, and today we're going to be talking about focus on the family. I want to invite you to call a friend, a family member, text them or email them to tell them that we're on the air right now, and they can join us via internet by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders with an S on the end, MASTERMINDERS, or they can join us by phone if they want to talk with us, 661-554-9219. They can listen via their phone while they're riding in their car, they're heading to the store, to the gym. The internet doesn't have to stop them. Tell them to get on the phone and listen while we chat this morning. And if you want to communicate with us while we're on the conversation, but you don't want to call in, you can join us in the chat room to log in through your Facebook account, and hopefully we'll be able to keep you posted on what we're discussing and what your comments are. Lastly, you can hit us up on our page, make a comment, and let us know you're listening and post your questions there as well. We have an exciting morning plan for you, but before we get started, Beatrice is going to give us more information about the International Masterminders Association. You can also visit us on the web at internationalmasterminders.com. But Beatrice, why don't you tell our audience something about us?
Okay, well, good morning, audience. I'm excited to be here this morning with everyone to focus on the family. The Mastermind Association is a group of people who have come together to espouse the concepts in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. We commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for the coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of a harmony between two or more people for the attainment of definite purpose. We set goals. We dream big. We are focused on meeting our objectives, meeting our dreams, meeting our goals every single day, every single year, every single week and month. We share our experience, knowledge with each other. We support each other to achieve our goals. And more importantly, we hold each other accountable, and we commit ourselves to each other. I mean, there's no better place than at IMA, International Masterminders Association, to really focus on the 10 things that we set goals on. That's spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and then lastly, creativity. Those are the things that we set goals on and that we focus on. During the month of August, we're going to be taking a closer look at four areas as masterminders. And last Saturday, as Angela said, we discussed keeping first things first and how to improve our spiritual lives. Today, our topic is focus on the family. Next week, we'll be talking about your health is your wealth. And the last Saturday, and that'll be August 25th, we'll discuss B&E, business and entrepreneurship, strategies for success. We'll be interviewing each Saturday experts in the field, guests, or people who have great knowledge about the topics, and many already have mastermind experience. Before we discuss focus on the family, Rufus, can you take a moment and give our audience some announcements before we get started?
Yeah, I am. what we'd like for you to do is, everybody, we have the our annual event, and we are all excited about that. I know that we've been tracking and putting it together. We, as a team, what we do is we put down our annual goals, as well as as we build towards this, we're working on our weekly and monthly goals. Well, we're coming to our mid-year event on the 18th of August, and we are going to culminate and come together and see the strides that we've all been making. And what we could do is help me out, someone. Here we go. What we're going to do, because I didn't want to leave you hanging, but what we're going to do is come together at the mid-year event and see the strides that the individuals have been making, see what how far we're going. So the IMA mid-year meeting, the Minds will be on Saturday, August 18th at the Embassy Suites in beautiful Boca Raton. Meet us there, and let's get started on setting and achieving goals. So during the mid-year, you'll get a chance to hear mid-year reports from members of of the great things they've accomplished so far this year. And we have some people that are doing some awesome things. You know, my book, Raising Champions, was published in March of 2012. We'll share a few accomplishments that you have achieved. Listeners, so, you know, please know that you can raise your hands to ask a question by pushing 1 on your phones. And before we start our discussion, you can also let's check and see who's in the chat room.
All right. Thank you, Rufus, for our announcements. We're really looking forward to all of you coming down to sunny South Florida or coming up to Boca Raton if you're here locally in the South Florida area and meeting us at the Embassy Suite for our mid-year meeting, which is next Saturday. And we'll be broadcasting live from the mid-year, and we'll be talking again about your health is your wealth, because without your health, there is no wealth. So let's come on, join us next Saturday. But we're so excited today about our call. Family is such an important part of the mastermind experience and journey. Your family must be a part of your goal setting. Many of us set goals as a family. Family can either help you or even hurt you when you are trying to accomplish your dreams. Today we discuss the family. We have our founder and president of International Mastermind. She's Ann McNeil. Ann has two daughters and a husband and a grandson, Malachi, who's getting so big, I hear. Also, we have another special guest to me. He's my cousin, Jermaine Chambers. Jermaine is also the founder of Voting Rocks, an organization that is geared up to helping get young people registered to vote. He's going to give us that male perspective. He's a divorced father of two who has a great relationship not only with his wife but her husband. Jermaine is engaged, and he's an active father in his children's lives. As a matter of fact, I believe his daughter is being picked up from the airport today from Jamaica. So we want to bring Ann in. Jermaine in. Ann, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Angela. Thank you.
All right. Just say hi to our listeners.
Good morning, listeners. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder building stronger and better lives. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Jermaine, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here, Ann.
All right. Say good morning to our listeners.
Good morning, everyone. Jermaine Chambers from Voting Rocks Incorporated, galvanizing young voters one vote at a time.
Awesome. We're so glad to have both of you on the line with us this morning, as we're focusing on the family, because family is one of the goals that we as masterminders, international mastermind, we focus on. And I like to say this because there are other mastermind organizations out there, but what makes us unique is it's not just all about growing a business or making money. It's about growing individuals, making us better all around people, and keeping us balanced and focused. So today, of course, we're focusing in on the family. Beatrice and Rufus are going to say good morning to our guests.
Good morning, Ann and Jermaine. We're really happy to have you as our guests. I know you're going to be able to share some personal experiences with your families and help our listeners out there with some tips on how to set goals and what you've done to keep your family together and moving forward.
Rufus, my man.
Hey, good morning, Ann, and lady who helped change this young lady life. And Jermaine, it's good to have you on also because, you know, it's good to have another hairy chest in the room. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Rufus. I appreciate that.
I hear you, Rufus. Well, today, Ann, you know, I want you to know I think I'm achieving three of my goals. Of course, I have my daughter here with me. Last week, I was with family for a different reason. My uncle passed, and I went out to Memphis, Tennessee, and I was out there with a bunch of family members from all over the country, and I was broadcasting live from Memphis. This week, I'm in beautiful Orlando at the Westgate Resort. I've been here all week, Ann McNeil. So not only am I accomplishing my family goal, I have my daughter with me. I'm accomplishing some of my recreational goals. I've been here vacationing, doing a couple things, not much, but I'm also accomplishing a health goal because I'm resting and relaxing, being renewed and refreshed and revived. So I have, I can check some things off of my goals, things that I've set, because every August before Lakeisha heads back to the classroom as a teacher, we try to come to Orlando or do something just she and I or something as a family. So I'm accomplishing some goals right now. Quickly, I want to ask Beatrice, have you done something with your family this year so far?
Well, probably what I'm most proud of, and I've family first, is last week I had my niece, she's 11, Ruthie. We spent the weekend together. Friday night was an 11-hour braiding session, okay? Don't know anything about braids, but I did pay for it. Saturday we did the shopping thing, you know, back to school, church clothes. And then Sunday we went to church. We look fly now, okay? With our new clothes on, it was just wonderful spending time with her, seeing her grow up. I was just shocked at how tall she had gotten. She's really smart. She scored the highest on her FCAT reading and writing, and it was just great to just spend time with her. I have six nephews and one niece. So just to have that opportunity, just that girl time with her was an amazing experience. And I hope to do it at least every 6 weeks or so. That's a commitment and a new goal that I'm setting.
Awesome. I know she was so excited about having Ruthie with her last week. And I tell you, I got all the pictures. So I felt like I was with them last week, even though I was in Memphis, Tennessee. Awesome, awesome. Rufus, do you have a family goal that has been met this year?
Yes, this summer we've been able to spend some time together. You know, it's amazing how, you know, we have the children and see them change and you spend time together. And sometimes, you know, stressors are the things that galvanize the family. So we have some sort of crisis. It's how we rally around each other. It's good to see this happen. But, you know, we have birthdays and celebrating, hitting all the birthdays and the special events. And our anniversary, which I thought we're going to have just a private husband and wife anniversary, but then everybody wants to gather around and participate in it, which is great also. And so school starts back for us on Monday, so I'm going to steal away the day, and it's going to be a kind of boyfriend-girlfriend date. Valerie and I are going to go see a movie and, you know, and just keep right on rolling. Just enjoy it because Brianna will be back in about 2 or 3 weeks.
So Brianna's heading back to college. You and Val are both teachers, so you're heading back to the classroom, and little man Micah will be going back to school. Does he go back to school Monday or next Monday?
No, next Monday. Next Monday.
Okay, so teachers are back in the classroom on Monday. All righty, we've got our guests, and they're ready to share some valuable information, some insight. And Rufus, my man, will be pulling you in to talk a little bit about how Napoleon Hill talks about the importance of having this family structure. So, Ann, why don't we start with the master builder who's building masterminds and better lives. Ann, share with our audience how masterminding has helped not only you but your family.
Well, thank you so much, Angela. I have to start with starting with the end in mind. And last week when you hosted the show about First Things First, we actually start with First Things First and Last Things. And actually for me, many, many years ago, and I was sharing with Beatrice this yesterday, many, many years ago, as I contemplated and began to write my obituary, and as a part of my obituary and looking at what would I like to have said about me when I'm dead and gone, you know, the bottom line is that all of the people and all of the things that we aspire to achieve and to have and to be and all of that, you know, when we take our last breath, there are really only two main questions, you know, we really, and I had to say this to myself, that I really want to ask. You know, really the first one is, where am I going to spend eternity? And that's really the first thing first. And once that's settled, and I'm very sure about that, the second thing is, who is standing around my deathbed? Who is standing around my deathbed? And we want to have family and those people who are very close to us. But will I have earned that? Or will they be too busy to be there when I take my last breath? And so starting with the end in mind and putting first things first, I started there as a masterminder to begin to live a life that put my family and my Christ first in my life. Now, even with that being said, and I want to thank you for some many years ago, you brought to my attention the fact that I didn't have one daughter, but I have two. And so as we look at the fact that our grown-up children need us as much as our young children do. And so for me as a masterminder, I start with setting goals with each person in my family. So my written goals include my husband, my children, and my grandson as a goal. And then I have specific action items that relate to each one of them. And then on a daily basis, as a part of the Palm Beach Life Planners, my goal is to do something special each day. No, I don't hit every day, but for the mere fact that it's on top of mind, I am conscientious about doing the little things. You know, maybe not staying out as late as I would and getting home earlier in the day and doing something special for my husband, something special for each one of my children, even if it's just a phone call or whatever it is, that's where my focus has been as part of masterminding my family. Thank you.
And your grandson, just share just a tad bit about how you've included Malachi in this process, because as we watch Malachi, Rufus and Beatrice and I evolve into this awesome young man, a businessman, an author, you know, just doing some great things. Tell our listeners how long Malachi has been masterminding now.
Well, Malachi has been masterminding, I would have to say, Angela, from probably, you know, 2-3 years old, only because when I ride in my car, I am constantly riding with Napoleon Hill CD, and, you know, whether it's in the iPod or whether it's CD player or whether it's at home, I wake up with that every morning, as most people know who I ever spend the night with. As we mastermind and travel. But because he grew up listening to Napoleon Hill, he grew up actually also when he began to read at age 4, age 5, age 6, he would read, you know, from Napoleon Hill's book, and we would discuss it as I drive. And then also by taking him to the different meetings and having him be a part of our program agenda, whether it's to recite a poem. But the changing point, Angela, came for me in the reality that he really got it was when he turned 7, he was visiting with his father in the Bahamas for the summer, and he called me up because his father also is a masterminder and he reads Napoleon Hill's book. And Malachi called me up from the Bahamas. It was on a Saturday. And he said, Grandma, I want to read to you my bestest poem in the whole wide world. And for many of us, we know the poem from the book entitled A Bargain with Life for a Penny, and Life Would Pay No More. He read the poem to me out of the book verbatim, and I encouraged him to memorize the poem. And from that, he began to recite the poem each year we would have our conference. But as a part of that process, at about age 7, he actually began to write his goals and actually an action item, not a lot of goals, but, you know, for the children, you know, one goal, two goals, and then the older they get, the more they add another category. And that's how actually he began to mastermind, and now he's branded himself as the little technology, as a little technology professor. And from attending Lothenia Howard's writer's boot camp last year, he wrote and published his first book, The ABCs of Technology, and was featured on Fox News. So that's really the beginning of Malachi, as we would say, branding himself.
And both of Ann's daughters, Ione and Danelle, are masterminders and belong to our organization. So it really is a family affair for her. Now, cuz, Jermaine, I know that you're not a part of the International Mastermind Association, but do you set any goals for you and your family? I know you have to set some goals because you have to bring your kids here from Jamaica. So do you have any goals for you and your kids when you're together, or do you set goals that include your children?
My life is my kids. So basically, each day that I get up and I go to work, I do everything with them in mind. I include them in just about everything that I do. They know my day-to-day process and what it is that I'm doing at work, why I do what I do. It was actually when I came up with the whole idea of Voting Rocks, it wasn't necessarily my idea. It was technically, I was brainstorming with a friend of mine and my son, and it was his idea. He didn't realize that it was his idea that we were actually coming up with Voting Rocks, but I asked him for his insight on a different way that we could maybe market or promote some parties to bring about some awareness. And it was his idea that said, maybe if you did a party and you actually register people to vote, or you give people a discounted rate to get in, or let them get in free if they bring their voter's registration card, and at the same time you'll be bringing about some awareness to voting. That was his idea. That wasn't my idea. And we took it and we ran with it, and lo and behold, that was the beginning of Voting Rock. So my kids are very, very engaged in different activities. Ashanti actually started up her own marketing company, HT. They're making T-shirts. She's also engaged in I can't remember the name of the nonprofit, but she actually started up a nonprofit over there where it was basically designed to help underprivileged kids get after school care and tutoring. So they're very, very, very bright kids, and they do everything that they can to give back. And I think that with them seeing Voting Rocks go from nothing to something, it shows them how to not only think, come up with an idea, but to implement and carry out that program, because I keep them involved as much as I can with everything that we do with that, because that ultimately is going to be their project. It was just something that I started up that I wanted to pass on to them. So with the Shanti being 15 now and Mani being 13, and he's basically the leader of the family, being, and you know, I came up the baby of my family, and it was basically at age of 4 or 5, I became an uncle. That made me, you know, I became the leader of my family at the moment that I became an uncle, because I've been raising kids ever since then. I've been changing diapers and pampers all of my life. So I had a lot of practice leading up to the point to where I actually had children on my own. So, you know, I've had to go through my life through trial and error. So I do everything possible to make sure that they don't have to go through things the way that I did. It took me to find God to actually become the father of my life, because I was raised by a single mother. So, you know, my life hasn't been easy. So, and just me finding God has given me the peace that I need to be successful in everything that I do. But it's also shown me how to be a more responsible parent, how to lead by example, how to push and allow my kids to still make mistakes, but to push them in a direction, because I never really had anyone push me to do anything. I was just a very, very driven kid, and I see a lot of that in my son. But my daughter, she tends to be a little different, you know, so I have to push her and guide her a little bit more. But, you know, overall, that's pretty much where how I keep them included, because we do everything as a family. We talk daily, despite the fact that the distance between us and the seas, I talk to them each and every day, be it a phone call, be it a BBM message, be it a Skype video conference call. We're always together. So we're not technically separate. I'm right here in the house with them at all times.
I like that. I heard a single mother on a Blog Talk radio show say a few months ago, when she said it at first, it kind of was one of those, you know, something wrong with her moments. But then as I, you know, just filtered it in my head, it made so much sense. She says, I'm not a single mother. Me and God are raising my son together. And, you know, at first it sounds like she was like one of those people being sarcastic. But as she kept talking, she said, everything I do, I consult God about my relationship with my son and how to raise him. And even though he's got mentors and men and my church involved in his life, but I'm not a single parent. I have another person. I have a co-laborer in raising my son, and it's God, and there's no better person who knows how to be a father, who better than our Heavenly Father. Thank you both. All right, now, Anne, this question is going to be really more so for you, since you are our mastermind expert today. What if you have a family member that does not want to set goals? How can you either help them, or how can you stay on track? And I think especially if they live in the house with you, how can you help them, or how can you stay on track even if they're not interested in the mastermind perspective or goal setting?
Well, Angela, I actually have a couple of those in my family. Actually, one has come around, and one is still coming around. And that is, it's basically the same as the Word tells us about the Word of God. We have to live by example and don't beat people over the head with that which we believe. And so my goal has been to do exactly that, to live by example as the goal, you know, in terms of the goals that I set, and the achievement of those goals. And no, they don't all happen overnight, and sometimes some of them it takes longer than others. But I would definitely have to say, as a masterminder, to set the goals that relate, and sometimes they relate to that individual, and but not directly in terms of, you know, again, I don't beat people over the head. I just do the very best I can to be the best example that I can. And that's really the best response I could give.
I so agree with you, because everybody is not going to get the process or even understand it. It's like it's one of those things that someone can tell you about or introduce you to, but they said when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's almost that kind of same process with masterminding. Sometimes someone can, and I've been introduced to Mastermind on so many occasions before I ever had the Anne McNeil experience and got introduced to the whole process of sitting down, writing a real vision, setting goals, creating action items, and then, you know, write the plan and then work the plan. So plan your work and then work your plan. So when I was really ready, Anne appeared, and as they would say, the rest is history. I met Anne in August or September, and I always get it wrong. I know it was before October, my birthday month, of 2007. So, Anne, 5 years I'm coming up on knowing you here real shortly. It was on a third Saturday, so we met at Professional Speakers Network. So sometimes your family members don't get it right away. You do it. You continue to work your plan, set goals. And when they watch you, then they'll want to. And they see your successes, I think is the best way to say it. As they watch you do it, they see your successes, your goals being achieved and accomplished, and you're doing good things, then they want to come in. Listen, I don't want to forget, we've got a bunch of people online now. If you're online and you want to ask a question, you can press 1 on your phone. It'll put you in the queue. We'll let you ask your question and get you a part of this, because I know after listening for a while, there are people that may have some questions that we haven't thought about asking Jermaine and Ann. So if you're out there and you want to ask a question, just press 1, and we'll take your question. All right. So,
Angela, yes. I do have something I would like to add to that. One of the things I'd like to tell people, especially, you know, we're talking about family members here, and one of the things I'd like to say to people is that family members are not. When we talk about masterminding, I will be the very first to say I do not want to mastermind, to be very clear. I do not want to do those things that are required of me, especially at the time that I don't feel like doing them. What I want from the masterminding process are the goals that are achieved. And so how we mastermind is just one way, is not the only way. And also the glue, I think, that helps us to mastermind in a very different way than most other people that mastermind is the fact that we use the Napoleon Hill book as a foundation by which we mastermind. And I think that that makes a difference because when you talk about masterminding and being held accountable, who wants to do that? I don't know about you or anybody else listening on the call, but I'll be the first one to say, no, I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock every morning. No, I don't want to set these goals and have to be responsible for being accountable. But, oh, my gosh, what I really love about it all are the benefits that are derived from that process. So thank you.
I so agree with you, Ann, because sometimes, you know, sending out a weekly report, reviewing your annual report to see if you're on track to accomplish those goals, getting that little ugly mailer in the mail from you before we get to mid-year or annual to see what we've accomplished that was on our list, it's not always what we want to do, but because we know that we've got these things that are in our view that are part of our big vision, it drives us to continue doing it. And then having people like Beatrice, who gave Rufus and I a little talk a couple weeks ago and then reiterated it as we were preparing for this call, the group leader has this big responsibility of saying, hey, you said you wanted to do this, so let's stay on track, let's stay focused. Now, I want to go back to something. Beatrice, I don't want to hog this conversation up with Ann. I know Beatrice is on her way to doing some other things this morning, so she's going to be dropping off. So before you drop off, Bea, I don't want to hog up the conversation. Do you have anything that you want to respond to or anything you want to ask before I go back to something Ann said?
Well, I'm here this morning at the Urban League. I'm a speaker at a women's empowerment conference, and I've arrived, so I will be getting off soon, so thanks for the opportunity. I really have watched Anne's children grow up and her grandson, and I know how they've used the mastermind process to grow. And it's so important to start children early with setting goals and just seeing their dreams come true, because I think the sky is the limit when that happens. And I see that manifested in Anne's family. And it was great to hear Jermaine talk about how his children are always with him and how he takes all of those extra steps to be sure that he is part of their lives and that they're in touch. And so I really congratulate them both on their focus on their family. And with that being said, I'm going to excuse myself and get to this conference, and I'm looking forward to it. And again, I'm meeting my mastermind goals. I'm speaking, but also I'm staying here for the day to also be empowered by some very successful and accomplished women and having an opportunity to learn new things.
Well, Beatrice, go handle your business, achieve that goal, and we know you're going to do a wonderful, wonderful job. And Beatrice is leaving, but I have to say that Beatrice is a great aunt, but she's also a wonderful, fabulous daughter. She assists her parents with so many things in their lives to make sure her parents are experiencing a great life as senior citizens and as her dad's a pastor. She's such a great daughter and then a great sister as well, how much time she spends pouring into her sister Naomi's life. And she and her sister Marie are together because they also do some things outside of this family. They, the Little Haiti Optimist organization. They're very big in that organization, and they work together. All of them are involved in that organization as a family. So, Beatrice, you're just a great person, but a great big sister, great aunt, and a great daughter. So you're to be commended for focusing on your family.
Thank you so much, everyone, and thank you to our listeners out there. And I'll see you. I'll be back next Saturday.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, I'm Rufus. Rufus, do you have anything that you want to respond to? Again, we've got all these callers on the line. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, you just press 1 on your phone, and we'll grab you and bring you into the conversation. Rufus, anything you want to say or comment on before I respond? Something Ann said, I want to write it down while Rufus says something so I don't forget what I want to say. Go ahead, Rufus.
Yeah, well, you know, I look at, and it's true, you know, the book I just published, Raging Champ, my philosophy is that a parent actually saved two or more lives with one action, and that's by being the primary mentor and by creating an atmosphere in the house by being the example or being the change that you want to see in your family or home or the world. And by creating an atmosphere, you become the template for what to do and how to do. If your children see you studying and working on your GED, or your children see you studying and working on starting a business, you become that example. And it reminds me of when I played for Mega Sapphire, we had to learn all this poetry. I was like, man, we're learning this poetry. But one of my favorite poets is a gentleman by the name of Edgar A. Guest, and he has a poem called I'd Rather Sit a Sermon. And the poem goes like, I'm going to read you a piece of it. It says, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes of deaf pupils and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creed. For to see good put into action is what everybody needs. Now that's just a short portion of it, but it's perfect. When the first time I heard this poem, I mean, I was like, man, this guy's a genius. You know, and essentially, because, you know, my mom always said, boy, in one of the chapters in my book, the title of the chapter is Children See You Better Than They Hear You. And it's true.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, children see you better than they hear you. And so, you know, back in the day, we used to have them aunts and uncles or parents, they're smoking a cigarette, and they said, boy, you better not smoke. And they got a cigarette in their hand, and do as I say, not as I do, that doesn't work. So you got to live your creed in front of them. So in the mastermind process, whatever you live, whatever is important to you, you transfer that to your children, your spouse, your sister, your brother, whoever, your friends, whoever's in your immediate family circle, and what you do cannot be misunderstood. Good or bad.
Awesome. That is so, so true. I love that poem. I hadn't heard it in a while, but I love that. Well, let's keep moving. All right, Carlos, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can raise your hand. But I want to hit a commercial break from the little technology professor who's one of our sponsors. Ann, is that Malachi?
Yes, ma'am, Angela. Malachi was the first person to create these when he did the Blog Talk Radio show with the youth. On his own, without consent from anybody, he created his own advertising on Blog Talk and did his show for the Mastermind Youth. And did one for his mother without her knowledge for her company, the Presto Cookie. And he played him doing his show.
Well, we're going to start with Malachi's. Okay, let's hear Malachi's little ad here. So stand by. Let's hear this.
This show is produced and brought to you by the Little Technology Professor, changing the way people use technology for their lives. The Little Technology Professor, making technology simple.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is really, let's give him a little hand clap. Thank you so much, Malachi. We appreciate your support. He's such a bright young man. We're looking for him to do great things in the future. All right, let's go to our next question here for Jermaine and Ann. Let's see where we're going. Ann, we'll start with Jermaine this time. What if you have individuals in your life that are not supportive to your dreams and aspirations? How do you handle that, or how do you deal with that?
People on the outside or family members?
Okay, go ahead.
And did you ask me people?
I can hear you now. Yeah, that's for you. What do you do and how do you handle when family members or friends are not supportive of your dreams and aspirations? And I can probably imagine, being that you started Voting Rocks, what, about a year and a half ago now, that somebody thought this couldn't be done. So how did you overcome that obstacle?
Basically, you know, I'm just one of those people that continue to kick doors down, and, you know, rain, sleet, or snow, I will always make a way by the grace of God. But at the same time, my family has been very, very supportive of everything that I've ever done. I was the first in my family to go to college. So people respect my decisions on a lot of things. I got my degree in finance, so I'm the person that they call for budgetary reasons, financial reasons. They also see me as the philosopher. So when it comes to biblical scriptures, I'm the person that they call. So it's sort of I've always been that guy in my family. So it have quite a few friends that say, you know, I don't think that this is going to work, and they gave me a laundry list of reasons why it wouldn't. But I just felt like the cause was bigger than the setbacks or the obstacles that we faced, as far as maybe even, you know, just raising money to fund it. Where would we get the kids from? You know, I mean, it was so many things that could have gone bad, or to where we may not have even been able to get off the ground, even with getting the 501c3 with the IRS. I had so many people tell me, oh, how difficult it was. And, you know, I sat down and one night and probably like 30 minutes, 45 minutes came up with with our mission statement and our vision statement. In another setting, I sat down at the computer, and all of this stuff was all God-given. You know, it things like this just come. Life in general has come so easy to me, and I know that I'm a blessed child, and I'm gonna live a long time because things come to me so easy and clearly. So I in another setting, I sat down and wrote up all the paperwork for our 501c3, and you know, to God be the glory. As soon as I sent it in to them, it was instantly approved. I didn't have any problems at all. So everything that people told me would happen didn't happen, because I had faith in myself, I had faith in the cause, and things have always just fallen in place. So I pray for people when they do say things negative about me or the organization or about anything. You know, all you can really do is pray for people and to continue to move forward, because everybody's not going to be supportive, and it could be someone on the outside. It could be a relative. It could be a spouse, or it could be a child. I've been blessed and fortunate to be in a situation to where I called you with it, and you were very supportive. You know, I called my mom on it, you know, and she's been very supportive. And the whole idea was derived from my son anyway, you know, so they, between the two of them, I mean, they've chimed in and they've helped me out, you know, and getting the word out to their friends. And, you know, Voting Rocks is probably even bigger in Jamaica than it is here in the United States.
Wow.
So you're going to have naysayers in everything that you do. You're going to have haters, as we like to call them. But at the same time, all you can really do for those people is pray, but to stay focused on your objectives and your goals and continue to kick doors in.
Yeah, I heard someone recently say that when people put your dreams down or they're not supportive, it's probably because they don't have any dreams of their own or they don't have the fuel to make their dreams come true. So the person made the comment, when the naysayers and the haters hate on you, use that energy that they're using to fuel your dream. Use it as like a fuel, you know, to do what they say you can't do. All right, Ms. Anne McNeil, who's been masterminding for like 32 years, I know along the way you've had people who thought what you were doing, even with International Masterminders Association, had to be telling you this is not working, it's not going to do any good, people are not going to change. How do you overcome those obstacles?
Angela, I want to thank Jermaine because he hit it really on the head. Your vision and your dream has got to be larger than the haters. And really, when you're focused on that which God has called you to do, be, and have, you really, honestly, Angela, I don't take them into consideration, actually. I mean, I've grown through this process, and a lot of people have come, a lot of people have gone, a lot of people started out with us, and they're not here anymore. But I have got to focus on helping each and every person that I meet who has a dream to consider using this process to help them achieve that which God has called them to be, do, or have. And if it's not for them, I'm on to the next person.
I like what you say, Ann, to us all the time. I don't know if it's an Ann McNeil original because you say so many things or if it's something you heard someone else say. But Ann McNeil tells us in International Mastermind Association, you must have a dream for a dream to come true.
Amen.
That's such a powerful statement. And even as I said it, Dan, my little left arm got chills on it. Because if you don't dream, then when is your dream ever going to come true? So you've got to have a dream first for a dream to come true. So we certainly appreciate those words. I just know for me, when people tell me I can't do anything, that makes me more determined to do it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, again, I want to just remind our listeners, there's quite a few of you out there, if you want to connect with us, I think we've got someone who wants to ask a question. So I'm going to bring in last four digits is 9835. You're live with us on the air. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
My name is Dr. Malika Thomas, and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois. And I was invited by Rufus Curry, Jr.
Awesome.
And I'm just joining the conversation, so I'm not quite sure what the topic is.
We're focusing on the family today. So focus on the family is our topic, how to include your family in your goals. They should be a part of your goals, but also how to get them setting goals of their own.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait. Let me. She is. Malika Thomas. Hold on. Look at
okay.
She's taking the humble route. Let me tell you something about this sister right here. This sister right here is Dr. Malika Thomas, the dentist. She's a young sister who attended Florida University. She ultimately went to dental school at Howard University. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta, National Sorority Incorporated. She's in Chicago right now. She is the first black dentist to create a teeth whitening system who is about to hit the market. All right, so
wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
She's tweeting back and forth with Oprah. Okay, you know, so, Doc, so I put it out there so you don't have to put it out there. Positive sister, we met when I was stationed in Fort Stewart, Georgia, and all the gold work in my mouth, Dr. Thomas hooked it up.
So now, Dr. Thomas, do you have children of your own at this point?
I don't have any biological children of my own. I'm raising my nephew, you know, the typical story in our community. He's the son of my brother, who's
okay.
much, much younger than I am, about 13 years younger than I am. I'm 41. my nephew's 11, and his parents were very young teenagers when he was born. And my brother's incarcerated. The mom, I don't know quite know where she is, but my mom adopted him, and she has since passed away from breast cancer. And I was the only one in the family that wanted to be responsible for him. So
you are focusing on the family because you took your nephew in.
So
well,
we call him my nephew brother's son.
I hear you. I said, that's your nephew's son.
He was my nephew, then my brother, now my son.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your upcoming product that will be out soon. When it does, please post the information on our group on Facebook, International Masterminders Association, and let us know that it's on the market so we can support a sister and we can also advertise it. But continue to do what you're doing because you're making a difference in the life of your nephew. Go ahead.
That was part of the reason I moved to Chicago is Rufus probably, if you remember from our conversations, were a lot of things that we were dissatisfied with the being in the South. And I didn't have any positive male role models in my family. They either were incarcerated or just absent. So I just wanted to move somewhere where he could get a different outlook on life. So that was the main reason I moved out of the South.
Well, Doctor, can I give you some advice today? I know you're the doctor. You've done a lot of great things and continuing to raise your nephew. You're to be commended again, but now you've got to start helping him to set goals because one of his goals can be is not to be incarcerated. And in order not to be incarcerated, is what is he going to do? Go to college? What college is he going to go to? How many scholarships he's going to get? Is he going to receive enough money that no one, including yourself, has to help finance his education? Not to become a teenage dad. So he's got a lot of things out of his own life experience that he can start setting goals for now and doing some really great things and then telling his story because there's nothing like a good story being told from somebody who's experienced some things.
Yeah,
so we want to thank you for
kind of challenging because, you know, like living in Georgia where we're at with the military installation, it was a very, very, very small rural town. And because of the things he's been through, you know, I just gave you a brief synopsis of, you know, how I became his guardian. But you can probably imagine, you know, some
what
of the other things he's been through. And so there weren't, like, really resources there to help, you know, when I would, you know, try to ask for advice or help. You know, the standard answer was, that's just how these kids are, you know. And I was like, you know, not my nephew, you know, he's going to be somebody. Like, I don't care, you know, like what you say, like, this ain't normal. I don't care what you're seeing on TV or, you know, what you're hearing in the community. This will not be my nephew. So
that's the attitude. You got to speak positive words over his life. You've got to be the one that can continue to tell him he can do anything he wants to do. He can be whatever he wants to be, and then to do your part. We're gonna we've got a couple more questions. We want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, no problem.
And continue to listen. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Let's go. We got a few more minutes here. So let's see if we can ask Ann and Jermaine. Jermaine, we want to definitely get a little bit of information. You're a single father, but you have this wonderful relationship with your children, not only them, with your ex-wife. And that's really important as we're focusing on the family. The family doesn't look the way it looked in the 1900s, and it has really changed a lot. And the blended family is such a common thing, but it has to work, and everybody has to do their part. So why don't you just talk to us about how you make the blended family work so that your children can have a good atmosphere to grow up in.
Well, my ex-wife and I, we got married very, very young. We were both still in college, in our senior years in college. When we decided to get married, we had my daughter shortly thereafter. And being a young newlywed with children, you know, I think what happened, we were very, very good friends, but before we became great husband and wife, there were children involved. So you sort of get attached to the children, and you sort of drift in your own, you know, you drift apart because we were so attached to the child that we sort of forgot about one another and we neglected one another. But you know, all of that comes, you know, I guess we were just too young to be married and to be, you know, dealing with the responsibilities of what we were faced with. But we made the best of it as we could. I don't resent her, and I don't think she resents me. But you know, we were married for about 6 years, and you know, when we initially got divorced, it wasn't the best situation. I wish I could tell you that that things were always hunky-dory as they are right now, but I can't do that. It took some time. We grew. I my parents divorced when I was 5 years old, basically about 4 and a half. So I knew what it took to make that whole situation work because I was that child that went through that situation. She, on the other hand, viewed the divorce as failure because her parents had been married for about 50 years. So our views on life were kind of, we were on two different ends of the spectrum, you know, and I had to let her know, you know, that, you know, that we tried. At the end of the day, we can both look at our children and say that we tried to make this work and it just didn't, but I wasn't willing to be miserable for the next 50 years of my life. And I didn't want her to be miserable for the next 50 years of her life. You know, I just wished her well. And eventually she, you know, she came around and she wanted to wish me well. So now when things sort of got better for us was once she remarried. She remarried and they ended up having two more kids. But when she called me and she told me that she was pregnant with their first child, I was so happy for her, you know, and I think that she was probably shocked at the way that I reacted, but I've always been very, very supportive of her and her husband, and I didn't realize that, one, that she was pregnant when she told me this, and secondly, I didn't know that she was actually engaged, but I think that when she saw, you know, the glow in me and how energized I was about their situation, she knew that my kids mean the world to me. And I know that if she's miserable, they're going to be miserable. She's going to make their lives miserable. So anything that I can do to support her or to make life a little easier for her, I want everything to be conducive to my ex-wife because she has so much control over the happiness or the misery of my children. That I, wow. I do everything that I can to be there for her. So, you know, I had even, she sent me an invitation to their wedding. And up until the week before, I was going to attend the wedding. But, you know, at the last minute, I spoke to someone and they said, you know, I don't think that would be a good idea, you know, because it would have been so much attention from maybe from his family, that it would have detracted and taken away from their day. So I decided against it. You know, I took one for the team, and I did not go. But, you know, even now, two kids in, if I send things down to Jamaica, I always send things for their children as well. When they come here, we all go out to eat together. You know, I don't, as a parent, you're always going to have opposing views on how you should raise children because we were raised differently. But at the same time, with them being there with her, I'm the more submissive one. You know, I let her run that ship and do things the way that she wants to do them, and I just support her and I try and get the kids to understand that, you know, once you guys get out of school and you're able to make decisions for yourselves, that one day we'll all be together again, you know, and it will all make more sense at that point. But they fight and they bicker all the time with the kids, and I'm sort of like the go-between. I have to sort of Vaseline their faces when their mom's ripping them apart, and, you know, and I have to talk to her sometimes, you know, just to let her know where the kids are coming from, because as a parent, sometimes your judgment can get cloudy on certain things, and you can't hear what it is that the kids are saying, or you may not understand their perspective, because kids are a lot different today than we were 20 some odd years ago. So, you know, I'm one of those people that I have evolved over the years, and I can put myself in anyone's shoes. If they're 20 years older than me or they're 20 years younger than me, I have been there, you know, and I have the wisdom of a 65, 70-year-old person. So I'm in no less for anything. So, and because you give me a hard time all the time because I haven't remarried, but
I do want to remind our listeners that this is my cousin, and he is single, but everybody who even thinks they want to date him got to come through about 20 cousins, so just keep that in mind. Jermaine,
yeah,
you know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you in so many. Jermaine was, the Adrian is not on the date because he's speaking somewhere as well, but Adrian was just in that same category that you were in a couple years.
Yeah, the 40 under 40, I saw him, but I didn't have a chance to speak to him because I got there late, and then they stayed for a picture, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, and Jermaine is a great guy and a great man. I'm not just saying that because he's family. He's doing some great things in the community, but it takes a lot of discipline and then a lot of love to do what you do to make your blended family work. But the part that you said, Ann, and I know you can appreciate that because you and Danelle and Malachi's father is raising him, and I forget it. I think he's from the Bahamas. But sometimes we got to do what's best for the child and stop thinking about how we feel about it and what we think. But what's best for this child so that they can have a happy, healthy, and prosperous life growing up? Because Jermaine said, you know, the main parent or the parent that has the child. Most of the time, we got to make sure that they're happy, too, because if they're not, they can make your child either happy or miserable. So I thought that was a great point. And do you want to share something? Because I know you guys have a blended family as well with when it comes to Malachi.
I'm sorry.
Ann, are you there?
Okay. Yes, I'm here. I thought somebody was saying something in the background. But, yes, Angela, absolutely. I think also when we go back to asking the questions, but first let me just mention something that Pauline Hill said. I want to just preface my comment. You know, in the book Thinking Grow Rich, Pauline Hill made a comment. He said, you know, one of the best mastermind groups is a husband and wife. Oftentimes when we just stop for a moment and think about, going back to Jermaine's point, even though they were young, and this is why I recommend the book to be read by everybody, especially anybody who's thinking about starting a group. If a husband and wife were to sit down before they marry, after they marry, during their marriage, and walk through this book together, set goals together as a family. Sure, each one of us can have our individual goals, but we should also have family goals. And with that being said, one of the things that we did as a family is we wrote, or actually Malachi actually wrote it, we wrote a family mission statement. And with that family mission statement, it then became the guiding force for us as a family. And so Malachi and his grades and the fact that, you know, he was getting older and having challenges in school, and I think the first caller that came on talked about what people thought in the town, the small town in rural part of Georgia where her nephew was being raised. They were impressing upon him who they thought he was, and she said, no, not my nephew. I think those of us who are raising especially boys from a blended family, or like you mentioned earlier about the lady who said, no, I'm not a single parent because God and I are working this out. That's what happened with us with Malachi. My daughter and Malachi's dad are not married, but when they looked at raising him, he spent the summers with his dad, but then he would go to school here with his mom. But as he grew older, he really was being impressed. It was being impressed upon that he was not who God had made him out to be, and I'll just leave it at that, as the schools and the people would tell him. And so we found that it was best for him to then begin to spend the summers with his mom and then be raised with his dad during school time. But if I can, Angela, with your...
You can. Yes, you can.
I'd like to read this family mission statement. It's very short.
Okay.
And it says, as a family, we are loving, peaceful, patient, and kind to each other. Our generosity is shared with others as we live a life of significance while leaving a family legacy. And that's it. That's our family mission statement.
Awesome.
And so, you know, when we break that down, we have actually began to do a speaking tour as a family. And that is part of our legacy that we would like to leave to other families when you talk about how do we actually operate together as a family. My daughter mentioned something to me that was so profound.
Which child mentioned it? You said Danelle.
Oh, okay. All right. Our first child, Dan and I, is Danelle McNeil. Our second daughter is Ione. Ione began to build herself as the baby billionaire from investing. As Malachi grew up listening to Ione speak on investing, he began to talk about investing. And when he heard that Ione had written a book, he was 8 years old, and he said, well, Grandma, I want to write a book. So, of course, Grandma assumed that he wanted to write a book on investing. And for the first year, which we was nine, I kept saying, okay, Malachi, you need to, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. And so my first daughter, Danelle, came to me one day, and she said, Mommy, have you ever thought of asking Malachi, what does he want to write a book about? Because if you notice, you keep talking to him about writing this book about investing, and he does not appear to be moved by it at all. And so no, I said, you know what, Danelle, I never thought about that, which was true. I never thought about what is his goal and his focus. He wants to write a book, but does it have to be about what I want him to write about? So I went to Malachi and I said, Malachi, what do you want to write about? He said, Grandma, I love technology. I would like to write a book about technology. So instead of me writing a book about the ABCs of investing, I would like to write a book about the ABCs of technology. And at that point, like I said, the rest kind of is history. I took him with me to Dr. Empowerment's writer's class, and Malachi sat in that class, and in less than half of a day, he sat in the back with Lardinia's iPad, and he wrote the book from A to almost Z in one sitting, turned the book over to Emerge Publishing with Dr. Betty Knighton, and the book was published in less than a month.
Wow.
Well,
you know, you just said something, you said something very powerful, and I think as parents, as we're focusing on the family here, we have to remember when we're helping our children, we've got to ask them questions. Don't assume you know what's best for them or assume that you know what they want to do. Communication is the best tool that God has given us, and if we would use it more frequently when we're sharing with our family, especially our children or grandchildren, is to ask some questions. Ask them what they think. Ask them what they want to do. Ask them what they want to be. Just because you're a dentist doesn't mean that your nephew, son, brother wants to be a dentist. He might want to be a lawyer. He might want to be a brain surgeon. So let's have some conversations with our children, with our family. Because that's how we're going to grow together as we conversate, as we talk, as we share. That's how we're going to grow, is by talking and getting to know each other better. So, Ann, that's a wonderful, wonderful story. We're really coming to where we're over the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to wrap it up here. I'm going to check to see if no one else has raised their hand. Callers, you got one last. You're still hanging out there, so you've got to. Even if you don't have a question, if you want to make a comment, if you raise your hand, just press 1 on the button. I'll take any last-minute questions or comments as we start heading to the finishing line and wrap this call up. Rufus, my man, if you'll be ready, and if no one else raises a hand, I want to get a thought from you, because one of the questions that Beatrice has, and since you're both fathers, you know, what does it mean? I'm going to start with our man Rufus, bring him in. You know, being a father, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, being a father, it is a work and an experiment, faith, and what have you like that. You know, I do the speech call. In the speech, I mentioned 4 years, 4 months, and 14 days. And 4 years and 4 months and 14 days is exactly how long my father was alive in my life. You know, when I give the speech, I say that, you know, after 4 years, 4 months, and 14 days, my father was gone. And people are like, oh, my God, you know, he left the family. Oh, the baby was so young. No, you know, all my father did was die. So at 4 years, 4 months, and 14 days old, I was fatherless at 6 years old. My sister was fatherless. And at 34 years old, my mother was without a husband. And so a lot of being a father is being it's kind of experimental, lots of prayer and what have you like that. And I had a professor tell me when I was in college, and he was talking about family and becoming responsible for a family, and I told him that I had no clue about what he was talking about. And he gave me this advice. He says, look, however you would have wanted your father to be, that's what you be.
Mm.
He said, if you wanted your father to be a superhero, you know, Batman or Spider-Man or Superman, he said, then that's who you be, and nobody can tell you that that is wrong. So every day I get up and I strive to be the father that I would have wanted to have. But the thing that also I am also aware of the fact that I believe that when traumatic things happen to individuals, there's a part of your personality that is stunted at that particular instant in life. So there's a part of me that is still a four-year-old kid. There's a part of me that's growing up with my son. There's a part of me that's 12 years old. So some days you'll see me, and I'm being a father, but some days you look out in the front yard and you'll say, well, God, it's a big old 12-year-old out there with that kid, you know what I'm saying?
Sorry.
But it is. So being a father is incredibly, incredibly an awesome experience. It has made me a better man. It's made me a better husband for my wife. The responsibility and the care. And no, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I get it right all the time. And if you don't believe that, talk to my wife and my kids. They'll let you know. Anyway, but my aim is to go forward and protect this family and to create a way for this family and to set this family up and to send ripples forward into the future, 6, 7, 10 generations deep. So I'm starting right here with the mastermind process and by lifting my creed, and I'm honored to be a father because I know that there are a lot of men out there who will never get to be fathers, but I am. You know, I have a wife and I have children, and I'm blessed.
Awesome. Jermaine, quickly, tell us how your honor or what it means to you to be a father.
Basically, you know, like I said, from the age of 23, I was thrust into this position, and I've embraced it. I love it. I love being the leader of my family. I love learning from each one of these experiences or encounters that may occur. You know, I'm going through a very, very delicate situation now, and I ask for all of you guys to pray for me. My daughter has been having fainting episodes, and which is basically the reason of her visit coming here to Miami is to see the doctor. But it hasn't been easy. You know, she's been normal all of her life, and up until the past year, she started these fainting episodes. And most recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, she had she just walked. She was walking down the stairs and fainted. and ended up having suffering a little whiplash in her neck, so she had to be in a neck brace for the past 2 weeks. But she's coming up here now to see the doctor. They think that it's absence seizures, like a mild form of epilepsy. And no one in my family, to my knowledge, has ever suffered from this. So like Rufus said, you know, every day we're learning. As a father, the toughest part about being a father, being a parent in general, is when you're faced with situations like this that you can't change. You know, no one wants their child to hurt. No one wants their child to suffer. And when you're forced in a corner to where you can't do anything but play, you sort of feel a little helpless, but at the same time, I feel hopeful. And I know that God will he'll find a way, and he'll give me the strength to get through it, and he'll heal it. So I'm not that concerned about it. I'm not that worried. But as I mentioned, I just want you guys to continue to pray for me and my family, and just know that this is a responsibility. Rufus hit the nail in the coffin. I mean, we as men or we as women, when we're faced with these leadership roles, we can create dynasties. And you know how our family dynamics was, and yeah, and what Jerry meant to us and to us all. I mean, Aunt Jerry was the mom of the Florida Chambers family, and she left a legacy behind. We would do nothing without her leadership, without her love. You know, more than anything that I miss about not having my Aunt Jerry is that leadership and that love. And she was that not only for her family, but she was that for our family as well, because my mother confided in her, and my mother was the leader in my family. She was my lifeline. So if that was her source, Aunt Jerry was my source as well. So you know, it's just a learning experience every day. You know, there's no manual to be a great father. The only great father that I know is the Lord himself. And, you know, I read my Bible daily. I stay in it daily, you know, because without it, I have no guidance. It is my light. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's how I make it day to day. And we're all learning. I stumble at times. But I know that at the end of the day, the father that I am today is a lot better than the example that I had that came before me. So God has been very, very good to me, and I just continue to, you know, move forward.
Well, you know, it's so wonderful to have two strong fathers on the conversation with us today. Rufus, our man Rufus, loving to have you, Jermaine, and even as you shared about my mom, Aunt Jerry, as everybody else calls her, mom, as I call her, was such a strong leader in family. It was she raised us all, like my cousin said. She was not only the mom to her eight children here in South Florida, but Aunt Jerry was mom to her sister May Ellen and the twin loads of other kids. She helped to raise us all, but she taught us all the same principles: God first, family second, community third, and those were the principles that we were raised on. As we're going to close here, Ann McNeil, we want to thank our founder and president, Ann McNeil, for being with us today, and I want to go back to something. I have my little paper here, so I'm gonna get back to it. But quickly, I want to just say this, is that I'm a mom. I have one daughter, and my daughter is a psalmist in her own right. My baby can really sing. When people say their kids can sing, sometimes people say everybody think their children can sing. Well, I know my baby can sing. She's a really good singer, and I thought she would really pursue singing as she got older. But she found another love that she's so passionate. She stays up all night doing it, and that's writing plays. She's written two full plays on her own. She took another play and doctored it up, and now her fourth play is coming out on November the 2nd as the conclusion of Domestic Violence Month. She's got a play coming out, The Mirror Don't Lie, and it's all about domestic violence. I'm not just saying it. Her last play was a huge success. Love is Why He Did It. It was an Easter production, and now we've got this one coming. It's about domestic violence, and my pastor said that this girl has a gift that we got to really harness in on. And what I see her taking and setting goals for herself, looking to enter writer guild competition, all that different stuff, and learning a new craft. But for the last 3 years, she's really been focused in on writing plays. So, you know, and I support her vision. Even though I thought she was going to be a singer and really pursue that, that wasn't what she wanted. I didn't want her to be a teacher, but my baby's the best teacher in South Florida. Loves her students, and now she is pursuing this passion. So we've got to listen to our children, support their dreams, and then look at our family and identify somebody in your family that you know needs your help, your expertise, your inspiration, your motivation to help them move to the next level. Now, as we conclude, Ann McNeil talked about the obituary. Every time she talks about this obituary, the first thing happens to me is I get a little gut feeling in your gut. Who wants to really talk about an obituary? But she said something that reminded me of my mom. What will people say about you when you're dead? And when they're standing around, you know, your coffin, or they're visiting you at the viewing, what are they going to remember? What things will you have done that will leave a legacy? And Jermaine was there. He can tell you. There were so many people at my mom's funeral. The police shut down the roads that nobody else could even get down like 7 or 8 streets because there was just so many people from temples to Catholic churches to community activists. There must have been about 25 preachers, and my mom was no preacher, that attended her service because she made such a great impact. She left a legacy that we as her children and nieces and nephews, that we are now doing things because of the life that she lived, the legacy that she left, and the love that she gave us when we were when she was alive. So I thank her. But Ann talked about that obituary. So today I'm going to leave you with that question. Ann is going to just give us a word. But I want you to think, how will your obituary read when you die? What will people say about you, and what legacy will you leave? Ann, you want to give us the final word?
Well, Angela, you know, it would not be me if I didn't close with the one-liner and the fact that you must have a dream to have a dream come true. And on behalf of the International Mastermind Association, I want to thank you and Jermaine, Beatrice, and also Rufus. But I also want to just encourage us that we would be very hypocritical if we set out to help other people, and I'll speak to myself in this instance, to have a dream come true and to live a better quality of life if we are not starting with our family first. And so going back to putting first things first, you know, once we know where we're going to spend eternity, our family is first after that. Thank you.
All right, we've got our 3 recommended readings as usual. Anointed Mastermind is always like to leave our listeners with some great books to help you in the area that we're discussing. So this week we want to recommend a book by Stephen Covey. I'm not sure if people heard. He recently went to be with the Lord himself. But The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. And some of the chapters in that book was communicate with the family. And I know I've talked about communicating a lot today, ask, talk, conversate. Another one chapter in that book is start and keep family traditions, and that's one that's really big for us as a Chambers family, which is the family that Jermaine and my mom come from. We just celebrated and had our 35th Chambers family reunion in Chicago, Illinois. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. Just last week, we was a couple hundred of us that went to Chicago 4th of July weekend, or the weekend before 4th of July. Well, another 100 and some of us showed up last week for Uncle Ted. He was the last Chambers brothers. But having traditions and then starting not your own family. Lakeisha and I have some traditions now that we keep for ourselves. And then move from the me to we. I love that chapter. Move from me. It's not all about you. It's about your family. So make it about your family. I think that's what you did, Jermaine, not ever even reading this book. It was not about you. It's about your children, about your ex-wife. So that's an awesome one. And Ann, he talks about having a family mission statement in that book. So 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Family, Effective Family by Stephen Covey. Our second book is Family Engagement, How They Begin, How to Mend Them, and How to Cope with Them by Barbara Leiby, L-E-B-E-Y. And we'll post on our page. We'll get the ISBN numbers. And the third one is Family First, And we said that how many times today, keeping the family first, your step-by-step plan for creating a phenomenal family by Philip C. McGraw, and he's a great author and writer. So we've got those three books. If you're interested, you can hit us up on our page, and we're going to be posting them there. Hit me up on my page to get the names again, The 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Family, Stephen Covey, Family Engagement, How They Begin, How to Mend Them, How to Cope with Them by Barbara LeBee, and then Family First, your step-by-step plan for creating not just a family but a phenomenal family. So we'll 7 days, 1 week from today, we'll be at the beautiful Embassy Suite in Boca Raton for our mid-year meeting. So those of you who are masterminders and you're listening, you know you got to get your mid-year report ready. If you're not registered, go on to our page, internationalmasterminders.com, click events, click the link, and it'll take you to a registration site. $50, that's all it takes, $50 to get to come join us, be with us, breakfast, lunch, and you get to meet all these wonderful people, including the founder of Masterminder. Next Saturday at 8 a.m., we won't be on this long next week because we'll be at the mid-year, but your health is your wealth. And then following that, B&E, Business and Entrepreneurship Strategies for Success. So we're the Anointed Masterminders here for IMA, thanking each of you for joining us this morning, thanking our guests, Tremaine and Ann. Everyone have a great Saturday, a wonderful weekend. And until next Saturday, go set goals and achieve goals so that your dreams can come true. Goodbye, everyone.